Hi, this is Dan Steele with your midweek legislative report for Wednesday, February 17th. Last week's flurry of committee activity culminated in a frenetic day on Monday as legislators attempted to move priority bills from their original House policy committees by Monday evening's cutoff date. Bills not adopted by their original House policy committee by Monday are technically dead. With approximately 1,100 bills introduced in this session, almost half of those bills had a swift death. This week, legislators are moving rapidly to pass out bills from their House of Origin fiscal committees before the next deadline on Monday, February 22nd. Fiscal committees have extra meetings this week with lengthy agendas of both public hearings and executive action. The House Appropriations Committee and the Senate Ways and Means Committee alone have about 240 bills on their list. Many of them will be heard, but receive no further action. Many more will be adopted, and a large number of them will die without either having a hearing or executive action. It is important to remember, however, that no bill is officially dead until the end of session, so we'll continue to watch these bills even if they're dead. We've talked here multiple times about the Democratic Early Action Pandemic Relief Package. Most of the bills in the package have been adopted by the legislature, including the centerpiece, House Bill 1368. This is the bill that appropriates $2.2 billion of federal stimulus funds, including $668 million to local school districts. House Bill 1368 was adopted in the Senate last week, Wednesday, and awaits the governor's action. He's expected to sign the bill on Friday. We remain concerned that the legislature is withholding a portion of the federal funds dedicated to K-12, as well as the funds dedicated to OSPI. With the bill's passage, however, we now shift our focus to the 2021 supplemental and the 2021-23 operating budgets, and will press legislators to allocate those remaining federal dollars, along with sufficient state dollars, to ensure all school districts across the state are made whole. Part of that solution is the two major education funding bills we have been working with legislators on since before the session began, Senate Bill 5128 and House Bill 1476. Senate Bill 5128 will protect pupil transportation dollars and provide funding to keep transportation programs running, including staff positions, even as ridership remains low. House Bill 1476 will provide bridge funding to school districts that lost enrollment, allowing districts to maintain stable funding into next year. This will protect general apportionment, but also will protect multiple programs that receive enrollment-based funding. As we've mentioned before, it appears likely the policies in these bills will be addressed in the budget rather than through adoption of either bill. We continue to strongly advocate for these bills, however, to ensure the issues continue to receive attention, and to ensure they are not forgotten as legislators begin to craft their budgets. Speaking of budgets, even though the session is just about one-third over, this is day 38 of 105, the talk of budgets is increasing. Last week, in somewhat of a surprise, minority Republicans in the Senate released a budget proposal. And before the dust settled, the House Republicans released their own budget plan yesterday. Neither bill will go very far. In fact, it's unlikely either budget will receive even a public hearing, let alone a vote in committee. However, both budgets garnered much media attention. While the Republican budget writers aren't delusional enough to believe their plans can actually be adopted, the two budgets publicly and boldly laid out GOP priorities. Perhaps the biggest priority is ensuring this legislature doesn't adopt new taxes. Both Republican budgets spend about $55.5 billion compared to the governor's proposal of $57.6 billion. The major difference is the governor's request of $1.7 billion in new taxes. Interestingly enough, if you remove that requested new revenue from the governor's plan, the total spending would be about $55.9 billion, very similar to what the Republicans are asking. Of course, this may impact some of the spending the governor proposes. New revenue or reductions would likely be necessary for new policies. However, the point of the Republicans is to show maintaining essential services and increasing spending on targeted priorities can be accomplished without taxes. This, of course, won't keep majority Democrats from continuing to talk taxes, And in fact, the most recent capital gains proposal just passed out of the Senate Ways and Means Committee yesterday. That proposal is likely to move farther than it has before. However, it remains unclear if it can make it through the entire process and onto the governor's desk. As the legislature's focus continues to slowly turn towards the budget, positive economic news continues to arrive. Today, the Economic and Revenue Forecast Council released its most recent monthly revenue report, and once again, revenues came in above previous projections. More than $500 million, cumulatively, has come in higher than forecasted since November. Looking at an $8.8 billion hole just 8 months ago, things look pretty desperate. Now, with the use of reserves, the budget can balance without the severe and painful cuts or huge tax increases as previously assumed. The quarterly revenue forecast, which the legislature will base its next budget upon, will be released 1 month from today, on March 17th. Democratic budget proposals should be released shortly after. Although the state won't be flush with cash, the hope is K-12 budgets can be preserved, including support for pupil transportation and enrollment declines, along with some targeted funding enhancements. Legislators can't be making these decisions in the vacuum, however. Revenues look better today than last year, but just because it's not raining as much as anticipated doesn't mean you won't still get wet. It remains incumbent on school administrators to stay engaged and active in the legislative process. We need your voices and your stories more than ever before. Thank you for listening.